Okay, the time is 2:19 PM. We're back on the record for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 16-007 and 16-011.
Now, before we took a break for lunch today, Ms. Tang, there was some discussion about taking a witness out of order.
Yes.
And the reason was Mr.
Makio
was leaving Island soon?
Yes.
Very well. Okay, so we'll take Mr. Makio out of order, and I ask that Mr. Makio, well, Mr. Makio is here, so Mr. Makio, could you please stand up, and I ask the witness to be sworn.
Please raise your right hand. Please state your name.
Michael Makio.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Good afternoon, Mr. McHugh.
Before we begin, Mr. McHugh, if you can please speak speak into your microphone, speak loudly in the microphone. You're a witness for direct examination.
All right, thank you. Good morning. Good afternoon, Mr. McHugh.
Afternoon.
You were raised in Guam and Hawaii?
Correct.
And you're an architect?
Correct.
Right, and where is your business?
My main office is located here in Aganya Heights at the Cliff Business Center. It's been there for 30 years.
And the name of your firm is?
Taniguchi Ruth Makio Architects.
And you are one of the principals.
I am the principal.
You are the principal.
Yeah, I'm the principal, yeah.
And what kind of, let's get some background on you. Where did you go to school?
I did my high school here, John F. Kennedy High School, a public school. And then I went to the University of Oregon and then University of Montreal for my undergraduate and bachelor architecture degrees.
Okay. And any other degrees?
No.
All right. Do you have any certifications related to your in architecture?
Yes. I have three licenses for architecture for Guam, the CNMI, and the state of Hawaii. And then I'm also a LEED certified professional. And I am a historic preservation architect.
Okay, let's talk about LEED. What does LEED stand for?
Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design.
So what does that mean?
It focuses on improving energy efficiency in buildings and reducing the overall footprint and stress to the environment from design and construction activities. So it's a pretty rigorous program.
Mm-hmm.
Annual continuing education requirements. So the intent is to reduce garbage, rubbish, waste in the construction process, design and construction process.
And power.
And improve power and efficiency. And
right. Okay. And the other certification? The, not certification, the, I think you mentioned your involvement in the ancestral.
Oh, right. I'm a historic preservation architect, so I'm involved in the Guam Preservation Trust, the Guam Historic Preservation Review Board, the Asian and Pacific Islander American Society of Architects of Historic Preservationists. So it's founding member of that one.
You have a lot of experience in Guam procurements, government procurements?
I think so.
Okay, and how many years have you practiced as an architect?
Going on 30 years now.
All right, okay, 30 years of practice, Mr. Makio. Approximately how many government procurements have you been involved in?
In excess of 100.
All right. Well, that's
okay. About 5 a year. So.
All right. And specifically, I think we're referring to school projects. How many school projects procurements have you been involved in?
The design of schools or the projects, that's actually one of our primary project types. I'm going to say we've probably done close to, I would say upwards of 40 to 45 school-related projects, where it was the primary campus design, building design, and then probably another 45 to 50 projects where it was renovations, rehabilitations, and repurposing of existing classrooms and campuses.
All right, and you were involved in all those projects?
Oh, yeah.
You personally, that is, as opposed to just the firm? Okay. And other than schools, you have experience in other government projects, and just a general overview of those, please.
We are called a general practice architecture firm, so we do a lot of work with healthcare, so both private and with the government, Guam Memorial Hospital, Department of Public Health. We work with, we're doing a lot of work with the Guam International Airport Authority.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing work with GURA right
mm-hmm.
now, and a lot of emergency response work. So that also includes working with the State Historic Preservation Office, civil service, the ROCC, which is the Command Center for Emergencies.
Okay, so you were a member of, you were involved in Cortex, the preparation of Cortex proposal for this RFP?
Correct.
And your role was as the architect consultant to Cortex, correct?
Correct.
And Cortex was the proposer?
Correct.
And in connection with your role as the consulting architect, I'll just say the architect, you reviewed the RFP for the Simon Sanchez project?
Yes, we did.
All right, so I'd like to direct your attention to the thick binder that's disappeared from, it's right in front of you.
Okay.
All right, so direct your attention to Exhibit 1. And you will see that the exhibits have corresponding base numbers in the bottom right-hand corner. So go to the very beginning, that would
mm-hmm.
be Exhibit 1.
Yeah.
You're familiar with this exhibit, this RFP?
Yes.
And you reviewed it in connection with your work that you did for Cortex?
Correct.
This project?
Yes.
And all right. So can you just briefly discuss what work you performed in connection with this proposal, in Cortex proposal?
We were asked by Cortex to review the RFP, specifically focusing on the program requirements for the school, and then also to start to analyze and synthesize concepts for the design based on the information that was contained in the solicitation. So this included graphics, diagrams, design studies, working with engineering consultants as well, who are also on the team, just to make sure that we covered all the bases of whatever was required for the design.
And so you yourself worked on it? It wasn't just someone else in your office who worked on this project?
No, I was directly involved in it. We had a quite large team, but yes, I was directly involved.
All right,
in
and you were the team leader?
Correct, I'm the team leader.
All right. Directing your attention to, I'm just going to show you to Exhibit 1, page 45. And that is what is referred to as Exhibit A, later on in the addendum. But in the RFP, it's referred to as the Simon Sanchez High School Requirements
mm-hmm.
Overview. You see that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And it consists of 3 pages. And you're also familiar with Addendum 2, Exhibit A, which amended this section, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to take you to that, go to tab 2, and it's CT2-16.
Here we go. Yes.
Okay. Right, and is your understanding that CT2-16 Exhibit A replaced in its entirety the original RFP, Simon School is what was called the Simon Sassa. Simon Sanchez High School Requirements on page CT145.
Yes. Right. Yes, that's correct.
All right. So, focusing when I refer to Exhibit A, I'm referring to Exhibit A in the Addendum 6,
okay.
Exhibit 2. All right?
Okay.
All right. So, in when you first started on this project, this RFP, what did you look at Exhibit A?
Yeah.
Why?
It contained the program that we were going to be designing in order to resolve the program issues for the solicitation.
Okay, so when you say program, can you explain what that means?
The program is any of the functional space requirements that are being requested for the project.
Okay, so when you say functional space requirements, from a design perspective, that was something that had to be incorporated into the design?
That's correct.
And hence the pricing of the project or estimate, cost estimate for the project?
Correct.
All right. And in your proposal that you prepared, and we're not getting into details, but in your work with Quartec proposal, did you, on behalf of Quartec, review Exhibit A and comply with what we call the design requirements of Exhibit A?
Yes.
All right. And why did you do that?
It's provided as a basis for the design, and so it is what essentially is required in order to show that you're providing something consistent with the request.
Okay, so the design and the cost estimate in your mind would be set by the parameters in Exhibit A.
Yes.
Now, if a proposal did not comply with Exhibit A, the design parameters.
Okay.
All right. Are you familiar with the term non-responsive?
Yes.
All right. Based on your experience with the 100 or so procurements that you've done on Guam, would that proposal be non-responsive?
If it didn't comply with the conditions of Exhibit A, I would say no.
All right. So let's talk about Exhibit A. I'm focusing on a couple of items. So we have Exhibit A. I'm on CT2-16. It says, new high school, Simon Sanchez High School considerations.
Yeah.
Now, they changed the term from the original RFP from Simon Sanchez High School requirements. In an addendum, they call it now considerations. In your mind, did it change anything with respect to whether Exhibit A was to be followed in this RFP?
No. From a design and programming perspective, it's still viewed as a requirement. When you're using the word considerations, it's still a requirement.
Okay, and when have you ever seen the word, have you ever seen a proposal, RFP, use the word considerations in other RFPs? Has that ever been used?
It's a little unusual from the RFPs that I've seen.
Okay.
typically, there's a group of words that we see as essentially the requirements. So when you're saying consideration, a design consideration is a requirement.
Okay.
So well, but
what would change that? What as a proposer,
yeah,
and a consultant for the proposer? All right. What group of words that you usually would see, what language would you see that would indicate to you as a proposer, a consultant for the proposer, that, well, this is not really required, this is optional? What would that be? What language do you usually see in a proposal?
You would normally see a definition of the word with what it includes or what it assumes and what it does not.
Okay. Can you give an example?
Typically, when you say the design requirements or the program, these are conditions that must be met in order to fulfill the requirements of the project.
Okay.
So that is the simple definition. So to look at it the other way, you can say that there are, how would you say, you could give examples which, in your definition, you would state that these are examples that are not intended to affect the outcome or selection or determination of a compliant design response.
All right.
So, but it's defined. It'll say, if I'm looking at the word considerations, if they had defined considerations and said that considerations wasn't a determining factor, then you could relax on it. But if there is nothing to that effect,
when you say relax, it would be flexible.
Yeah, okay. You could be flexible in how you interpret it.
But But did you see any such language in Exhibit A?
No. No, I didn't see that.
Because you didn't see such language from a proposer interpreting the RFP and the designer, how would you go about putting together your proposal?
We would treat each of the elements that are presented as a minimum requirement in order to comply with the project.
So, for example, in Exhibit A,
yes,
page CT2-16, you have new high school considerations, 2,300, 120 classroom teachers. What does that mean to you?
The school has to be prepared for 2,300 students and 120 classroom teachers.
Not flexible?
No.
Okay. Next page, 17. Total of classrooms needed, 121. Is that flexible?
No, especially when you have the word needed there.
That's an absolute.
That's an absolute.
Yes. Not flexible.
No.
All right.
I mean, if it said total number of classrooms suggested, okay.
Okay.
But even at that, you would want to have the word suggested defined.
Yes. And that would be the matter of some kind of RFI. You can ask for additional information, right? Now, bottom of page 17, exhibit 217, auditorium. Says auditorium for 750 capacity. In your mind, is it your understanding that it's not a flexible number?
No, this is a design condition, a requirement.
Okay. And the cafeteria seating, the recollection that's supposed to seat 40% of the population?
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay, I will direct you to the area. And having a 40% population, 40% requirement, is that requirement, I'll find it in your thought, is that requirement a fixed requirement?
The answer is yes, particularly because they're giving you a specific percentage. If they were to give you a range of acceptable percentages, it would be viewed differently.
I'm going to take you to exhibit page 38, and then it's RFI response 21.
There it is, yeah.
Okay, so 40% student enrollment. So you would calculate 40% of 2,300. That's how many people have to be able to seat at one lunch period.
That's how you interpret it.
All right.
At a minimum.
All right. Any flexibility?
In the industry standard is if you absolutely have to meet the minimum requirement, you can always provide more. So we as designers like to do more, but you can't do that less.
Okay. Now, number 22 on the same page, it says, what is the required student capacity for the classroom? Maximum 30.
Right.
That's a minimum? That's a requirement.
That's a requirement, yes.
All right.
No more than 30 per class.
So, now I'm going to take you to exhibit 54. It might be in a loose stack. I don't know if it, I don't think it's made it into fine. I'm sorry? Exhibit 54, yes.
It's
a letter?
Yes, yes, yes.
Dated February 29, 2016.
Where were you at? I'm sorry.
54.
Thank you.
All right. So included in the proposal for this RFP, is it your understanding that in addition to just the basic construction cost, right, and I'm not talking about a CCIP yet, that there are other components of the cost estimate? And I'm going to go through them, directing your attention to Exhibit 54.
Yes.
Would contribution of arts, the 1% that's mandated by Guam law, would that be included in the final, the proposed amount?
That should be, yes.
Yes. It must be.
Yes.
All right? Correct. All right. Architectural and engineering cost fees. Is
Gosh,
that also?
I hope so. Yes, it should be. It will. It ought to be.
Okay. The furniture, fixture, and equipment, this is referring to the collateral equipment. You're aware of the collateral equipment required, right?
Yes, I am.
And that's an addendum 6, Exhibit A, Attachment A.
Yes, I am.
And those are the specific identified equipment that, collateral equipment that the school wanted.
Yes.
That has to be included in the proposal.
Yes. Specifically in that amendment, they were very specific about what they wanted, down to the number, shape, and size of pieces of equipment. So it was very specific, it was very articulated.
Okay, you're talking about attachment A. I can
yes.
show you.
Yeah, there's a list of tables, chairs, equipment that was required.
Okay, next item, the owner contingency. That would have been included in the proposed amount, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And just for reference, clarification, what is an owner's contingency?
I'm sorry,
what is owner's contingency?
Oh, it's usually a fund that is set aside to assume variations in cost during the course of construction.
Okay. And then the next item on the page, the right-hand side says GDOE 570, page 2 of the same letter.
Okay.
Owner overhead. Now,
yeah.
That also, should that amount also be included in the proposal cost estimate?
Yes. Yeah,
and then also,
it's typical overhead.
Yeah, and then owner's profit, that's also included, correct?
Yes.
All right, so a proposal that leaves out the items that I just enumerated is incomplete.
Yeah, it's incomplete. It's not giving you the entire picture of what the cost would be.
And do you agree that it would be non-responsive to the RFP?
If I were evaluating, I would say yes.
Okay.
Non-responsive.
Yeah. Just as you were talking about the collateral equipment, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So go to Exhibit 2,
mm-hmm.
page 24. So that's the collateral equipment list. It starts at Exhibit 2, page 24, right?
Yes. Yeah, they even give you the dimensions of the tables that they want. So we take it as a requirement. It's not a hint.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you to go back to Exhibit 1, page 9. Is it your understanding that once a proposal is submitted by an offeror, that they can't just change the proposal on their own?
Oh, yeah, no, you cannot. It would be unethical. No,
okay.
you wouldn't do that.
And the RFP conditions or requirements, in this case Exhibit A, if the government were to change the RFP conditions or requirements, Exhibit A.
Yes.
That information or that change should be made known to all offerors who submitted proposals.
Yes.
After proposal submission. So let's say proposals are submitted by deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in.
Yeah.
If the government is going to change Exhibit A.
Yes.
Should all offerors who submitted proposals be given a chance to be notified of the change and given a chance to change your proposals or modify your proposals?
Yes, so that you're keeping all of the proposals consistent with one another, the apples to apples.
And if they're going to amend it, they would do it pursuant to 2.2.2, which is on page CT1-8, right?
I'm trying to get there.
So they would issue some kind of amendment?
Right.
To all parties?
Right, that's correct.
And then all of DOFR would have then have an opportunity to respond to that?
That's the correct way to do it, yeah.
All right.
Mr. Keeler, your witness for cross-examination.
Yeah, Mr. McHale, could you please take a look at Exhibit A?
You referencing Exhibit A and Exhibit 2?
Yes.
Okay.
So from the amendment?
Exhibit 2, page 16.
16? Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that document's entitled Simon Sanchez High School Considerations, correct?
Yes.
It doesn't say requirements, correct?
No, it doesn't say requirements.
And do you have a clear understanding of what the word considerations mean?
From a design perspective?
No.
No, not from a design perspective.
Just English language.
Yes.
Okay. And that means that certain items can be changed and altered, correct?
Objection. There's no basis for that definition. That's Mr. Keeler's definition. I'd be fine if he quoted from Webster's, but...
Mr. Keeler, I'm going to have to agree with Ms. Tang that we can agree on...
Okay, Mr. McHale, how do you define considerations? What do you think that means?
As an architect. I'm not even human, I'm an architect.
You are human, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting right. Please answer Mr. Keeler's question.
Yep.
What you think the word considerations as used in Exhibit A?
It's part of the minimum requirement for this project.
You stated you're familiar with the procurement process, correct?
Yes.
Okay. In that process, is there an opportunity for questions and answers?
Yes.
Okay. And is it appropriate to say that if Cortec had any questions as to what the word considerations meant, that he could have inquired?
Yes.
You understand that this procurement was done in two phases, correct?
Objection, vague as the word phase. Are you talking about negotiation, evaluation, or just for this particular
Mr. Kittle, could you just rephrase the question a little more specific?
Certainly. Was the first portion of this RFP the evaluation of proposers?
My understanding, yes, that was the way it was presented.
Okay. And do you understand that price was not one of the criteria for the evaluation committee?
That's what was presented in the solicitation.
Could you please take a look at Cortec Exhibit 2-7? When I say 2, I mean Exhibit 2, page 7.
Oh, Exhibit 2, page 7.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. Could you please take a look at the last paragraph of the section entitled "To Intent"?
Starting with once a firm?
That's correct.
Once a firm is selected, a scope of work and fee estimate will be negotiated to perform the required services for Simon Sanchez High School. A task order will be developed and executed for the remaining 35 public schools based on the priority lists and needs of GDOE after the completion of the Comprehensive Capital Improvement Plan.
In your experience, when you have negotiated the scope of work, has sometime the project been larger, other times the project smaller?
Objection vague as to what he means by larger and smaller. Is there
Is
he talking about deviation from the scope, or is he talking about dollar?
He's just generally talking about project size. That's my impression. You've got to overrule the objection. Okay. Please answer the best you can.
Did you repeat the question?
Yeah, in your experience, when you're negotiating contracts, and you're reviewing the scope of work.
Yes.
Okay. Don't you at times revise portions of the work?
Objection, lacks foundation. There's no testimony from this witness that he negotiated any contract. He's a consulting architect. Now, if you want to ask him if he's negotiated contracts, he can do so, but he must lay the foundation.
I'm going to sustain the objection because I don't recall there's any part of his direct testimony where all you have to do, Mr. Keeler, is just lay a foundation and ask him if he's negotiated these contracts before and then proceed.
Mr. McHale, you testified that you've been involved in approximately 100 procurements, correct?
Correct.
And that a large portion of them have been primarily related to school projects, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and in that experience, in that work, have you been involved with scope of work?
Yes.
Okay, and in those instances, does the scope of work at times increase or decrease? You know, is the project itself revised?
It increases. I'd struggle to say I've ever seen a decrease.
Could you do me a favor and take a look at CoreTech Exhibit 1? Page 70. This is a public law 32-120. Do you recognize that document?
Yes, I've seen this before.
Okay. And did you review that in preparation with your work on the project?
Yes.
Okay. Could you please take a look at page 79?
Okay.
Okay, if you take a look at the first full paragraph on that page, it states selection of contractor shall be based upon the proposal that delivers the best value for Guam in meeting the objectives of the educational agency, correct?
Correct.
What does that mean to you?
It fulfills the minimum requirements that were presented in the solicitation.
And where does that say it?
Well, yes, what it meant to me.
Is it fair to say that meeting the objectives would be determined by the Department of Education?
I struggle with that because this was a government solicitation, and we treat those very differently. There's very little flexibility when we're dealing with the government of Guelph's contracts. Your question to me was if it was the government of Guam's, I'm sorry.
The question I believe was, doesn't this language mean that the Department of Education is the one that's determining what its objectives are?
Looking specifically at the second paragraph?
Yes.
No, that doesn't what it doesn't. Doesn't mean that, in my interpretation. You're saying that the Department of Education is the one to determine
what the best value is.
That's not how I interpret the second paragraph.
How do you interpret it?
I mean, that there are a set of criteria that are established that tells you what the best value is. It's not a subjective thing. There's established criteria for determining best value. The selection of the contract shall be based upon the proposal that delivers the best value on the meeting the objectives of education. So the criteria. Sorry, I'm struggling with this. The contractor shall, based on the proposal that delivers the best value for Guam. The Department of Education can look at the criteria that are established for selecting, but I don't think it means that they decide what's best value. They have to follow the criteria for determining best value.
No further questions.
Mr. Agee, you're a witness for cross-examination.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. McKeel, are you getting paid for testifying today?
Yes.
Who's paying you?
Ms. Tang.
Ms. Tang is paying you what exactly is your compensation for being paid here to testify as a witness?
For testimony, we have a bill rate. And it's just the amount of time times that bill rate.
Okay. And how much is your bill rate?
It's, I think, $180 an hour.
So it's based on how much time you're testifying today?
Yeah.
Is it based on your preparation time?
Yes.
Okay. Did you meet with Ms. Tang before you testified today?
Yes, just to schedule this event, yes.
Did you discuss any of your testimony with Ms. Tang today?
She discussed.
Objection. I think we're getting into privilege matters. He's being offered as an expert in this. He's also testifying as to matters for. He's a Cortec expert. So,
Mr. Agee.
Unless he can find an exception to that, which I don't think there is.
I am concerning the objection.
Yeah, there was no testimony that he was an expert. In fact, he was brought forward as a member of Cortec's team who was made a proposal based on the RFP. And from my understanding of the questioning, that was the extent of his testimony as to his lay knowledge as a member of the Cortec team.
Oh, may I respond to that? He was definitely testifying in his capacity and based on his experience as an architect. And I might note that no attorneys made an objection to him, his offering expert testimony at any time.
He wasn't certified as an expert, but he did testify as to his role in preparing the CORTEC RFP. My main concern, Mr. Agee, is, okay, we get that he's part of CORTEC's team and that he prepared the proposal and that he's getting paid for his services here, but what's your offer of proof concerning?
Well, I just want to go into his credibility as a witness, in other words, his motivations for his testimony, and that's what my question is going to.
Okay, but
The weight of his testimony. I just have a few more questions with regard to.
I'm going to give you some very, very limited leeway, but already I think we're kind of getting into the weeds with this line of questioning. So you may proceed.
But, I mean, he's not allowed to inquire into privilege matters. Am I correct on that?
Well, what's the basis, what's the exact privilege you're citing?
He's CORTEC. He's part of the team. He was the consultant.
Yeah.
We're counsel for CORTEC. He can give
the objection in terms of the discussions he had with CORTEC's attorneys. He was part of CORTEC's team. You may proceed.
How much time did you spend discussing, preparing for your testimony?
30 minutes.
Did you discuss any of the substance of your testimony today?
No, it was mostly about my health.
Oh, about your health?
Yeah.
Okay. So you are a member of CORTEC's team that submitted a proposal in the RFP?
Mr. McKee, you have to state yes or no.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And so I recall when Ms. Tang was questioning, you were mentioning some items that were as part of Eve's proposal, subsequent items such as architectural and engineering fees, and you made a remark about including those fees in the proposal. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. So if, as a member of CORTEC's team, if CORTEC were to prevail on this project, or get a contract with the government, would you also be a recipient of some of the work, financial work, and compensation as a result of that?
Yes, if they hired us for that phase.
Weren't you part of the team that
was
presented by CORTEC?
Yes. So we were commissioned to help them prepare the design that was the basis of their proposal. And so that work phase was paid for, and it ended. So our qualifications have been provided to CORTEC for ongoing work. But I guess all I'll say is we don't assume that we're going to be part of a team moving forward.
So then you're not part of. Let me ask you this. Do you know if CORTEC's proposal as part of this RFP process consisted of a team of team members such as, and who were those team members?
I think objection. We're getting into the proposals. We weren't allowed to get into Gief's proposals. Why are they allowed to get? He's ready to testify as part of the team. There has not been an award to CORTEC. He can't say that he's definitively going to get a contract.
Please move on, Mr.
Okay, so just to
can
be
I
clear.
Comment, please?
So go ahead, comment.
Ms. Tang went into the composition of Jeef's team extensively.
That is correct, but what is not at issue is the composition of CORTEC's team, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't recall any party raising that as an issue, hence the relevance of an extensive line of questioning in that regard. So, once again, please move forward. I have sustained the objection. Please move forward.
Mr. Macchio, if CORTEC were to prevail in this RFP, is it your testimony that it's not certain that you're going to be part of their team?
We do not have a contract for that project right now. So,
were you part of the team members?
Objection.
That's asked pretty much an answer in terms of what his role was when he helped prepare the RFP for CORTEC. All right?
Mr. Macchio, Were you part of the government of Guam's evaluation team?
Objection, Zane.
Were you part of the, are you an employee of the government of Guam?
No.
Okay. So, because of course you were part of the team members of CoreTech who submitted a proposal with regard to this instant RFP. Is that correct?
That's
Jack
correct.
Jack Chen asked to answer. We're going back into the proposal. His team has already been answered 3 times.
Okay.
And you've already ruled on that line of questioning. We're going back to it.
Ms. Tang, you opened the door as to his opinions regarding various parts of this procurement, and I'm allowed to ask questions as to what the basis of his opinions were.
Actually, Mr. Agee, like I said, what's troubling is, okay, yes, you certainly are, but we're starting to go into areas that are far, far, far from the basis of Mr. Agee's opinions, okay?
Okay, well, I'm just trying to explore the basis for his opinions. Is it, or did you render your opinions, Mr. Macchio, in your capacity as a proposer?
Objection, he's not a proposer. He's a consulting architect.
As one of the team members of CoreTech.
That's what
his testimony was.
All right, and Mr. Agee, one more time, okay? We already have established what his role was. I don't see the utility of harping on what his role was.
Okay,
these are arguments, yes. You certainly can raise them in your closing argument in terms of the credibility or the weight that we should give.
Okay.
And they're very clear what your arguments are.
Okay.
So, please move on.
Mr. Macchio, just going back to CoreTech Exhibit 1, page 79.
Okay.
Mr. Keeler asked you questions about that paragraph where it begins the selection of a contractor shall be based upon the proposal.
I'm sorry, what page is it?
Page 79.
Exhibit 1, page 79.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you remember testifying about that?
Yes, I do.
And it says, based upon the proposal that delivers the best value for Guam in meeting the objectives of the education agency.
Yes.
You don't believe that it's the prerogative of the education agency to determine what the best value for Guam is?
My comment is, I don't believe that's what that paragraph says.
Mr. Macchio, please answer my question.
I think he's answered a question. It's being argumentative.
Objection overruled. Mr. Macchio, please answer the question to the best of your ability.
The answer is no.
You don't believe that the Department of Education should be the entity to determine what the best value for Guam is?
No.
Okay. Are you aware that the Superintendent of Education, going back to Exhibit A,
yeah.
Are you aware that the Superintendent of Education has stated a position that the considerations under Exhibit A of the RFP were not set in stone and were flexible?
I know I was not.
I'm asking you about Exhibit A of the RFP. Are you aware that the superintendent has
made
taken the position that
no.
those considerations were not set in stone?
No.
You're not aware?
No.
Okay, if I were to represent to you that was the education's superintendent's position, You would disagree with the superintendent?
No, you asked me if I was aware of it. The answer is no.
And then I represented to you that was his position. So would it be your position that you would disagree with the education superintendent?
You're asking me if I would disagree with the superintendent. I would disagree.
You're disagreeing.
I would disagree.
Okay. As you disagree that it's also the prerogative of the Department of Education to determine what the best value for Guam is?
Objection.
In constructing a school?
Objection. His testimony is that that was not his reading of that section of F58D. Let me make very clear what the question posed was.
I'm asking him a question. He can answer it.
I'll overrule the objection. Mr. Macchio, please answer the question to the best of your ability.
Restate the question. The second question.
Mr. Macchio, so you don't believe that it is the prerogative of the Guam Department of Education to determine what the best value is for Guam in a school that the department is using? Yes or no? Do
no.
you believe that?
No.
It's not.
It's not.
Do you believe that you would be in the position to determine what the best value is?
No.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Mr. McKeon, you're aware of the function of the evaluation committee, correct?
Yes.
And they would review the proposals submitted by the, and the proposals have to comply with the RFP requirements like Exhibit A, and that the evaluation committee and then the negotiating committee, that would be their job in determining what's best value, correct?
Yes.
Not an agency, DOA, DOE.
Yes.
All right. And you're testifying today, and I think you earlier testified that you're getting paid hourly. Would your testimony be any different whether you were on the team or not on the team with Quartec?
No.
It wouldn't be different?
It would not be different.
All right. And then with respect to the contract, this particular work, if Quartec were to be awarded this contract, then you would negotiate and enter into a contract for that, correct?
That would be what we would try to do, yes. Yeah.
And that's a normal procedure of things. You wouldn't enter into a contract ahead of time if they hadn't been awarded a contract.
Correct.
And this is pretty standard practice on your part.
Correct.
All right. So it's not as if you're not sure whether you'll be on the team. It's a question of whether they'll get awarded, and then the terms of that award would then be negotiated into a contract.
Right.
All right. Thank you. No further.
Earlier, Mr. Macchio, you said that there was very little flexibility in dealing with the government Guam contracts. Okay. Is that during the contract phase, or is that during what we understand is design build? Is there any where would be little flexibility in dealing with the government?
Where they've defined flexibility, that's the only place. I mean, the industry standard, the professional standard would be to interpret whatever information were provided at its most strenuous interpretation. So if somebody says to me, you can provide two classrooms, we provide two classrooms. We always interpret it in its most strenuous form.
By chance, were you involved in the construction or design of the JFK?
No.
No. Okay, that was it. Okay. Have you, because you've been doing a number of schools, were you allowed flexibility in the design in any one of those procurements?
The overwhelming majority of times, the recommendations usually led to additional requirements, not reduction of the requirements. So we usually will make recommendations that we view what's provided in the program as the minimum. And so anything that you can bring to the table that would improve the performance of the contract that's where we involve ourselves. So if they say, you know, the classroom size is 20 by 30, 20 by 35 works better for the following reasons. We
we don't push the minimum down. We try to improve on what's provided.
So in your dealings with past procurements on schools, did you have some design flexibility?
For government solicitations, we try to stay by the book.
No, but once you got the contract, were you given by the government design flexibility? Meaning afterwards, let's just say, we thought we needed 120 classrooms, maybe we only need 118 as an example. I'm just throwing it that. There's where I'm coming from.
Not really. The flexibility is usually the other direction. It grows, it expands.
As opposed to contracting.
Yeah.
So you yourself have not been in any design where
the minimum standard was lowered, no.
It's always been. Thank you for that. That's all I have.
Do any of the parties have any questions as a result of the public auditor's questions?
No questions.
Mr. Aggie?
Just a few questions on his background. Do you have any formal training in the design of schools?
Absolutely.
What's your training?
Well, from the University of Oregon, there's an entire curriculum based on academic design, campus design, early learning centers, safety and security on campuses, digitization. There's an entire section of continuing education that has to do with interactive buildings, that is using online remote courses, remote classrooms, and it's an ongoing program inside of the American Institute of Architects for continuing education, and we have a biannual requirement for continuing education. And then also we do also have, I have been going through training with the National Trust for Historic Preservation in repurposing historic structures for use in contemporary classrooms.
Do you know what the difference is between an RFP and an IFB?
Oh, yes I do.
What is
all
the
right,
difference?
Mr. Aggie, I don't recall. The public auditor
asked me
any questions about that topic.
That's my.
Do you have any?
I wasn't thinking in lines in response to the public auditors. I'm sorry to draw my questions.
All right. Mr. Keel?
One question, I believe. Maybe two. Mr. McHale, could you please take a look at CoreTech Exhibit 12, page 3? And if you could review the last paragraph on that page.
The final negotiated scope of work contains relatively minor deviations from GDOE Simon Sanchez High School considerations set forth in the RFP. For example, 22 English classrooms were listed in the RFP. However, GDOE reevaluated its current and projected requirements and determined that 18 or more than met its requirements. Accordingly, GDOE advised that it was in the best interest of Guam and the educational system to reduce the number of rooms to only those needed. By eliminating the four English rooms and reducing the number of other rooms, GDOE was able to best meet its current and future needs.
Okay. Now, is it your testimony that if the Department of Education determined, after review and walkthroughs, etc., that instead of 22 rooms, it was best to go with 18 as a cost-saving measure, and that all of their needs, both current and future, are met, you're stating that you would not be allowed to reduce the number of rooms. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. No further questions.
May I ask one question of him? You were the architect for the four schools?
Yes.
Or Okidoo Attico and the other two?
Correct.
Weddingdale, forget the third, fourth. Okay, that's it?
That's it? All right. Mr. Macchio, I'm going to excuse you as a witness. I'm going to have to, of course, you're subject to recall by the parties, and I'm going to have to instruct you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or anyone else until these proceedings have concluded. Do you understand that?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Macchio.
She's out there.
Okay.
She's out there.
She's out there.
Ms. Tyrone back on the stand. Ms. Tyrone, sorry for the short delay. We had to take another witness out of order just to make sure that that witness would be testify when he was available. Now, just a reminder, you're still under oath. I think Ms. Travis, we were in the midst of your direct examination.
Yes.
Okay, please proceed.
We ended. We were looking at Exhibit 9. You could turn to that exhibit. And earlier in the day, when I first asked you if you could identify this exhibit, it didn't seem familiar to you, but you did recognize the internal chart that was in there. Do you recall that testimony? Now, towards the end of the first examination that we did earlier this morning, I had asked you, I believe where we ended is I had asked you whether or not, having gone through it now during your testimony, whether or not this document seemed familiar to you, and you said that it did.
The chart, yes.
It's still just the chart.
Correct.
The rest of this analysis is
not
still...
Not that I can recall.
And just for clarity, when you say chart, because there are a few charts in here, which chart are you referring to?
The chart that I'm referring to really would be the one where it's...
Page 2?
I believe it's on page 2, just a...
Page 2.
That's the one that says history, and then it says proposal.
But this isn't the exact chart that I'm referring to. It's similar to one in nature.
So you're not sure the context in which you've seen
correct.
This chart? Did you yourself prepare a chart analyzing all the different requirements? Or did anyone at Akita do something like that?
Yes, I believe so.
Who at Akita did that?
Tina Garcia.
And was it a chart just like this,
analyzing costs from previous high schools that we had dealt with, the construction and the costs associated with the construction of those high schools.
So for Ukadoo or for JFK?
Correct, just to do a comparison.
Was there a comparison done for all the different cost estimates in this case, in this procurement, as
no.
you described earlier?
No.
So Mr. Romero's chart lists all these different cost estimates. Your chart had other high schools?
Correct.
Okay.
Previously built high schools.
I'd like to direct your attention to Exhibit 1. We are now looking at page 8, section 2.2.2. earlier you testified that you don't agree with Mr. O'Meara's analysis that these were requirements. You thought that these were flexible criteria.
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, can you review section 2.2.2? It's labeled amendments. I don't want to read the entire thing, but in essence, what this section does is it states that any revisions or amendments will be announced by amendment or addendum to the RFP and will be identified as such prior to the date set for opening proposals. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And you understand that, what's your understanding of this section in the context of your assessment that these requirements were flexible?
I'm sorry?
How do you reconcile your assessment that Exhibit A is flexible?
Mm-hmm.
How do you reconcile that with the requirement that any amendments to the RFP in general need to be made in writing to all the offerors prior to opening of the proposals?
Well, those are general guidelines, so those would have to be the specific things that were not necessarily specific, but you know, the idea of what the needs are of the school or what the needs are to be met in order to accomplish this, but all subject to negotiation because they were supposed to be guidelines.
I'm trying to figure out what section in the RFP says that, because this is the section that refers to amendments of the RFP, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in this paragraph that you can refer to that authorizes any other procedure for revisions or amendments to the RFP?
Not in this specific provision.
Do you think that the RFP somewhere else contains something?
In the scope of work.
In the scope of work?
Right before the scope of work where it says these are guidelines.
There's a section that says that.
I believe so.
These are guidelines.
I believe so.
All right. Ms. Tang is going to work on looking for that section. And you believe it was near the scope of work?
I believe so.
Oh, I see. Okay. Ms. Tang has found it. So turn to page 45, please.
Exhibit 1.
Yeah, same exhibit.
Okay. Okay.
This is the page called Simon Sanchez High School Requirements, right?
Correct.
And the note here says that all given figures and drawings are for general guidelines and for reference only. Correct?
Correct.
Is this a section you're referring
to? Yes.
Okay, and you're aware, of course, that the section was amended in the RF, in addendum 6?
I don't recall.
Okay, let's turn to page 16 of exhibit 2. Page 16 of exhibit 2. Exhibit A. I think we actually discussed this a little bit earlier, but I don't think I referred you to the document itself.
Okay, I'm not finding it.
It's in
exhibit 2.
Are you in exhibit 2?
Yes.
So it's exhibit 2, page 16.
At the bottom.
Where it's entitled Simon Sanchez High School Considerations?
Correct. Yes.
And you agree that this page replaces in its entirety the page that we referred to earlier called Simon Sanchez High School Requirements?
Yes.
Okay. And this page doesn't contain that language about guidelines, correct?
Correct. But considerations would also give that same sort of sense that there's flexibility.
Okay. Anywhere else that says guidelines? I just want to put
not
guidelines to bed.
Not on this page.
Anywhere else in this?
Not that I can recall.
Okay. So your reference to guidelines was in the original RFP. Nothing in the.
It must have been yes.
Okay. Now let's talk about considerations. So you believe that considerations. Gives the same kind of impression that guidelines would. That's your testimony.
Yes.
Are considerations, the term considerations, you think that that is a, would you, do you believe that that's a term of art in the procurement process?
A term of art?
Yeah. Is there a specific meaning to the term considerations that you think everyone involved in procurement should know? Considerations just means...
No, not necessarily. Not that I'm aware.
Are you aware of any provision in the RFP or in the addendums or in the RFI that defines considerations as guidelines?
Not that I'm aware.
Anything that defines considerations at all?
Not that I'm aware.
Clarifies its meaning? Or clarifies its meaning?
Not that I'm aware.
Okay. Let's turn to page, exhibit 39.
It might be another one.
I see it.
Now, Ms. Travis, how much longer do you think you're going to take with your direct examination? And before lunch, you were saying 40 minutes, so.
Yeah, and we're maybe 8 minutes in at this point, so
okay.
I'm going to keep to my, I think, 40 minutes total for my redirect.
Very well, very well. This will be your direct exam.
Correct, my direct.
Okay.
This may be a good place to break.
Yeah, we're going to break for this evening.
Okay.
Ms. Tyron, I'm going to order that you return here at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay.
And that you not discuss your testimony with anybody else, any of the parties, the third parties, until these proceedings have concluded. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. I understand. Don't forget your class. And we will reconvene tomorrow morning at 9 p.m. Parties edification, we did... Did they get the decision?
No, I'm going to give them that.
Okay, we have the decision in order regarding the government's motion to quash us.
Thank you very much.
We're off the record at 3:31 p.m.